Let us pray. Father, we thank you, God, for allowing us, God, to be here tonight. We thank you, Father, for the children that you have given to us. Father, I pray, God, as we look into your word tonight, as we start talking tonight, you will equip us to become better parents. Father, we know that one of these days, you're going to take us to the other side. And Father, we want to raise godly offspring. More than anything else, Father, we want our kids one day to be able to see your face. I pray, Father, that you will equip us, you will teach us how. I pray, Father, that as parents in here, Father, tonight, we will decide to become the men and women that you've called us to be. You've entrusted these kids to us. Father, we want to do a tremendous job to the glory of your name. Father, be with us at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24. It's great to be together. And tonight, we're going to start talking about being a spiritual parent. Okay? Amen? Amen. We all know that we got a huge battle on our hands in terms of what the world teaches and the influences from the world that we're trying to keep out of our homes and out of our families and out of our church compared to what the Bible teaches and the way God says to live. And I want us to remember that, first of all, it is God who gave us these children. And yes, we're going to account to God for how we lived our lives. But guess what? When you and I stand before God, we're also going to give an account of how we raised our children. And I know as parents, a lot of times we don't think about that. That I'm going to have to give an account one day before Almighty God of how I raised the kids I was privileged to have and that he gave Sarah and myself. Are you with me? And we all know that we're not going to be on this earth forever. If anything, I guarantee us, all of us here in this room, in another 100 years, you will not be here. I can guarantee you that. How do I know? People don't live up to 130 years anymore. They just don't. How did you come up with 130? I just picked that out of thin air. I'm assuming the youngest person is here is 30 years old. Okay? So 100 years from now, you'll be 130. And I promise you, you're not going to be here. And so the point is, we're all going to leave this earth. What have we have left for our children? Very soon, they're going to be out of your house. Okay? Yes, I know. They do come back. Okay? They do come back when they want help, especially when they want money. That's just the way it is. Okay? But for all intents and purposes, we have about 18 years to get them ready to face this world. And brothers and sisters, it's a brutal world out there. And we got to remember that in the church, we are really protected. That when they get out into the world, when they go to school and they start working, they're not going to be surrounded by quote-unquote disciples of Jesus Christ. And you and I need to prepare them for what they're about to encounter. Amen? Now, I'm not going to really be preaching tonight. I'm just going to be talking. And then I got a bunch of handouts. There's going to be homework. Okay? That the elders and I expect you to do. Okay, this is not just one of those, oh yeah, we hand this out, I'll do it if I feel like it. Oh, no, 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 no. Okay? Because we're trying to change the culture in our church when it comes to our parenting and the work that we're doing. Are you with me? And I don't know about you, being a disciple is challenging. Okay? Let's just begin there. If anybody thinks, you know, being a Christian is a cakewalk, you know, I don't know what God you're following. I don't know what Bible you're reading. This is very challenging. Let alone being a godly, spiritual parent. It's hard. It is difficult. But you see, the cool thing is, most kids, like we've all experienced, at least you should know by now, most kids learn by imitation. And there's no doubt in my mind that when our kids see God in us, when our kids see Jesus in us, when they get to the age, when they're able to understand what's really going on, nobody's going to have to force them or ask them, you know, why aren't you studying the Bible? They're going to say, could you teach me about this God that I see you following every day? You know, people often ask me, you know, what's the secret to your children becoming disciples and falling in love with God? As if, you know, there's a formula somewhere. And as if there's a bunch of lists that, okay, if I do this, and I do this, and I do this, and I do this, and I do this, is equal to my kids becoming Christians. There is no such thing. Let me make that very clear right now. One thing I do know, my answer to people is twofold. I tell them, it is by the grace of God that my kids know God. That's the first thing. And then I tell them very quickly, number two, is I believe my kids saw God in me. They saw my love for God. They saw my love for Jesus in my wife and myself. And they were motivated to want to find out about this God. We all know that really the image that our kids will form of God comes from us. Especially if we're a father in here. And the amazing thing is we're all sinners. And so there isn't a perfect father in here who doesn't blow it. I blow it all the time. I know you do too. And our kids see that. And so in their mind sometimes there's a confusion. Wait a second. This guy is supposed to be perfect. But how come I saw you yelling at mom? How come I saw you losing your temper? And that's why it's very important that when we lose it in front of our kids, we apologize to them. Because at that moment, we're not being like Jesus. We got to teach them that humility. It can't be, well, you know, I'm the king of this castle, so, you know, you be quiet. Because our kids can see us. Are you with me? Very, very important. This is all introduction. I've not even gone into my whatever yet. But we got to remember, brothers and sisters, that our kids are watching us. It shouldn't be, you know, we come to church and we're different from when we're at home. If you are that kind of a person, what you've taught your kids is, you know, it's like you're walking out of the house, you put your church hat on. And then when you're at home, you're a different kind of person. It's very confusing to these kids. They are not going to want to follow God because they don't know which is which. Are you with me? It's very important that our kids, what they see at church is what they see at home. What they see at home is who you are at work. 24/7. Okay? We're just talking about you and me being disciples of Jesus Christ. Because that's what we are. Amen? Joshua 24. I want to make two quick points. In Joshua 24, we all know this story and the context. This is Joshua towards the end of his life. And he's led the Israelites after Moses passed on. He became the leader. And in Joshua 24, again, a passage we're very familiar with, in verse 14, Joshua is talking to the Israelites. He says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua called the Israelites to make a decision. And so my first point I want to make tonight is you have to decide. It doesn't just happen. The fact that you're a disciple and you come to church doesn't mean, well, I'm going to have a spiritual household. You've got to decide it.
that my household is going to be a spiritual one. The attitude has to come from you, where our kids can see that, you know what, hey, as for us in this house, we are serving the Lord. Why was he calling them to this? Because they were serving other gods. What are some of the gods that we serve today? Okay? Money? Career? Come on, keep it coming. Cell phone? Entertainment? Athletics? Our jobs? Kids? Spouses? Things? See, all these things are our own gods. And believe it or not, our kids can see it. And so you, as a single mom, or the single dad, or the father or the mother, you've got to decide that, you know what, we are not going to longer serve all these gods. We are going to serve the Almighty God. We have to make that decision. It doesn't happen by accident. Joshua decided that he and his household were going to serve the Lord. He made a deliberate, conscious decision. And that's why you and I today, all these thousands of years later, we're reading about this in the scriptures. It doesn't just happen. A guy named William Foster once said, quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. It represents the wise choice of many alternatives. If you're going to have a spiritual household, you have to decide that you are going to have one. It doesn't just happen. You're not just going to waltz into it. Are you with me? It's got to be a conscious decision for that to happen. Again, what kind of car do you drive? Okay, you drive a truck. How did that come about? One day, you made a conscious decision that you were going to go buy yourself a truck. All right? As opposed to a Toyota. I'm assuming you went through that thought process. You didn't just close your eyes and walk into the dealership and just said, the first car I touch is what I buy.
Okay, it's okay.
You didn't do that.
No.
Okay? Are you with me?
Okay.
Where do you live? Where do you live? You live in London. On what street? Where do you place around? I don't think Adam just closed his eyes and opened the phone book and said, you know what, the street I touch is, that's where I'm going to go buy a house. I don't think that's the way that happened. He made a very conscious, deliberate decision to buy that particular house. Are you with me? If we make such intentional decisions on trivial things like homes and cars that are not going to last for eternity, how much more should you and I, when it comes to our eternity and the eternity of our kids and the atmosphere of our household? That needs to be more intentional, in my opinion. Are you with me? It doesn't just happen. Believe it or not, this is the most important decision we make daily, weekly, consistently. In other words, I'm going to be spiritual about this issue. And it's constant. It never stops. Amen? Again, because of time, I'm not going to go into all this. In Romans chapter 7, you can write these verses down. From verses 14 to 25, it talks about how you and I, as Christians, we have the Spirit of God in us. And there's a battle going on, where the Spirit of God wants to do one thing, our flesh wants to do something else. And it's constant. But he talks about at the end there where, thank God, thank goodness, you and I have the Spirit of God in us. And if we will allow the Spirit to guide us, then I believe we will become spiritual people and spiritual parents. Okay? It is not possible to be a spiritual parent if you're not a spiritual person. It's not possible. Okay? We receive the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us when you and I repented of our sins and we got baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what is always taught. Okay? We are called to be people led by the Spirit. But you and I live in a very busy world, and all of a sudden, the world, and that's what the elders have been talking about for months now, starts creeping into back into our lives and trying to take over. And we've got to stand there and fight that. If not, not only are we not going to make it to eternity, our kids will not make it. Ask yourself this question. If you and I will not do whatever it takes to help our kids see God's face one day, who is going to do it for you? Oh, that's the evangelist's job. Oh, you got that one wrong. Yes, I will inspire you. I will inspire your kids. But that's your job. I don't see in scripture anywhere where it says, you know, children, obey the pastor or obey, listen to the evangelist. It talks to fathers. Train up your children. Are you with me? Because that's where it begins. Now, don't get me wrong. As a church, we will do everything we can do. But the primary responsibility is yours. The primary responsibility to raise my kids and to be a spiritual parent is mine. And yes, other people can help me, but I've got to be the one doing the heavy lifting. You know how it is when you want to move a couch? Okay? And you want somebody to help you out? What happens? You usually go to one side and you pick that thing up first. Right? And they say, could you give me a hand? And then they help you on the other side. It shouldn't be, oh, this couch needs to be moved. Oh, yeah. Could you move that for me, please? Parenting is not like that. We've got to do the heavy lifting. Amen? You have to decide. Just like Joshua did in Joshua 24. And I think on this point, I would encourage all of us in the next week to have what I call a family meeting with your kids. Sit down on the table. Preferably after dinner, one of these nights. Before next week, Thursday, make this happen. Sit down. And I want you as a father, if you're a single mom, I still want you to do it. And acknowledge your shortcomings as a parent and as a disciple. And say, you know what? I want to do better. I want to grow in this area. I think it'll be fine and appropriate to apologize to our kids for not being the spiritual parents God has called us to. Because I know I fall short. I know you fall short. And to now say, going forward, this is going to be a spiritual household. We are not going to curse in this house. I pray you're not doing that already. We are not going to raise our voices in this house. If that has been going on, again, you need to apologize for it. We're not going to be mean with each other. We're going to be a spiritual household. We're going to treat each other like Jesus, as if we were living with Jesus Christ in the house. You've got to decide that. And so I'm encouraging all of us in here. It's where I see a lot of fathers, and that's great. But even if you're a single mom, you can do this. If you're a single dad, you can do this. So that your kids know, okay, man, I remember when we had that sit-down talk, whatever it is you want to call it. It's okay. You know, there's no hard and fast, whatever. But it needs to happen. That your family will be able to look back. You know what? That was the day we decided things were going to be different in this house. And the way we treated each other. Does that make sense? But we have to decide. Number two. You need to become. Matthew 22. And this is where I'm going to spend most of my time. Matthew 22. In Matthew 22, in verse 34, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. The greatest commandment is to love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to love our neighbor as ourselves. We do those two things, the Bible says you fulfill all the law. Are you with me? We cannot be spiritual parents if we are not people who love God and love other people. It's not possible. It's not even possible. And so the first question we ask ourselves as we're talking about being spiritual parents is, are you really in love with God? That's the issue. Because again, I believe our kids can see it. If we're truly in love with God, or we're simply people that go to church. If we're truly in love with God, or are people that just read our Bibles every once in a while and pray. Seriously, our kids can tell the difference. Amen? So we're talking about becoming men and women that are deeply, passionately in love with God and in love with our neighbors. That's what we're talking about. Remember what it says in Matthew 7. Jesus did not say, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who believe. No. Belief has got nothing to do with it. He says, only those who do the will of my Father. So a lot of this stuff that we're talking about tonight, and those of us that went for the marriage retreat will tell you, you know, it's not as if we don't know all these different things. The question is, there's a big difference between knowing something and doing it. I know what the Bible says about me being a good husband. The question is, I don't do it every day. That's my problem. When somebody says, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, I know exactly what they're going to be saying. I can quote the passages. The question is Richard doing those things? Does that make sense? And so a lot of this stuff is not as if that we don't know them or we don't believe them. The question is in the doing. But the cool thing about the scriptures is God says we will be blessed when we do these things. He doesn't say you'll be blessed when you believe them. Even the demons believe in Jesus and shudder, the Bible says. Belief has got nothing to do with it. It's in the doing. Amen? We can't be spiritual parents without being a spiritual person. So let me ask you this question. What are the qualities of a spiritual person? Yes. Audience, patience, honesty, humility, one by one. Just raise your hand and I'll call on you. Joy, compassion, love, loving your neighbor, forgiving, wisdom, contentment, humble, selfless, patient, gentleness, merciful, gracious, servant, perseverance, holy, peaceful, prayerful, loves the word, yeah, self-control. I mean, we got a long list, right? Guess what? I'm going to give you some homework. All right? And we're talking about the qualities of a spiritual person. I want every person in here to take two of these. Okay, and I'll tell you why. And you're going to grade yourself. Okay? Now, hold on. I want you to be very honest with yourself. This is not one of these. I'm not going to, okay, let me put your mind at ease. I'm not collecting this back. Okay? First of all, I don't have the time to look at everybody's whatever. I just don't. Okay? And so I don't want this back. But I want us to be all honest with ourselves as we go through this. You know, I got stuff on here. A lot of it you've already mentioned. Prayerful, passionate about God, motivated by grace, servant, forgiving, not worldly, open about sin, loves and serves the poor,
outgoing and giving to others, always using their talents for God, sees the potential in others, very giving, selfless, at peace, provides for their families, sacrificial, diligent, not lazy, not a lover of money, not fearful, humble, loves and lives out the word, constantly evangelistic. There's a list here. One is going to be low, 10 is the highest. But I want you to grade yourself on all these qualities. Okay? You do that yourself first. Then the second one, I want you to give to your spouse. You say, Richard, I'm not married. Oh, you don't get away easily from this one. Give it to your discipling partner. And let them grade you. The whole point of this is so that you and I can see our weaknesses and the areas where we need to grow in. So that you can start praying about it. You can start studying out in the scriptures. And that's how you turn your weaknesses to become your strengths. Are you with me? Okay? And so, when we give these out, as a matter of fact, maybe we can start now. Because that's a lot. If you guys can help me. Two. Everybody gets two. Okay? So that we can grade ourselves. What did I do with mine? Oops. So that I can, again, the point of this is that we can start praying about these areas. And we can really take a sober judgment of where we're at. What? It's not going around? I made 200 copies. There's not 200 people in here. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, let's do this. Let's make sure that each couple gets one for now. And we can always make a copy. Okay, I'm sorry. My bad. You see, even preachers make mistakes. I didn't make enough copies. So that's the first assignment.
Every couple right now has one. That we have.
Okay, you got it? Okay, so you put it on the website and then we can all go in there and make copies. Okay? There's still a bunch here, so, you know, give them out. All right? So that's the first assignment. You don't have to turn it in. You're not turning anything in to me. Are you with me? Okay? Now, that's homework number one. Number two, now you know what all your high school kids are going through. I'm going to give us a personal parent evaluation sheet and... Okay. Five important areas to stay spiritual as a parent. All right? Again, this is, if you let me give these out, one per couple. This is a Bible study that I want us to have in the next couple of weeks. Okay? We're talking about areas like God, people, emotional stability, humility, and processing time. It's all there. The scriptures, the questions, everything. But I want us to do this in the next couple of weeks as part of our quiet time. Okay? And I want you to go through the whole thing. So I'm giving you a Bible study. All right? So on this one, please just take one. Now, on the back of it, there are two pages. On the second page, on the right side, is a personal parent evaluation. You're going to evaluate yourself. For instance, number one, it says, are you walking with God daily? Number two, what do you treasure most in your life right now? Number three, are you open about the sin in your life? Number four, do you have someone in your life that is helping you? Number five, do you prioritize meetings of the body? Some of this stuff we've already started talking about as a church. Number seven, do you use God's word as a standard to train your children? I mean, so you're going to evaluate yourself on that right side, and I think that sheet I gave you earlier will help you. Okay? And then on the left side, it talks about sacred vows of parenting. And the next time we talk about this, which is going to be in a few weeks after we're done with our shepherding series, we're going to be talking about parenting vows. And that's why over the next several weeks, in the next 3-4 weeks, I want us to really sit down, study this stuff out, and make some decisions. Okay? For instance, like it says there, number one, I vow to passionately pursue my relationship with God above everything else. Number two, I vow to keep my treasure in heaven. Number three, I vow to fearlessly attack sin in my own life and model repentance for my children. Okay, guy, we're not playing. Okay, this is serious stuff. And please don't go fill this out if you don't really mean it. You know, the Bible does talk about don't make a vow before God if you're not going to keep it. You'd rather not make a vow than make a rash one. And that's where, again, I'm giving us several weeks to do this. Okay? Are you with me? So you're going to evaluate yourself, and then you're going to take these vows. And then when we come back in 3 weeks, I believe, we're actually going to teach this on a Sunday. And then on Thursday, we'll have a Q&A like we do. But one of the elders will teach this class. Are you with me? Okay? How you been so far? Now, another thing we got to work on and do a better job of is, you know, we got a great youth and family ministry, and John and Marisa are doing a fantastic job. They really are. Brothers and sisters, we can't wait till our children become teens before we really get in there to really be influencing them. I believe it starts from when they're able to talk and able to understand instructions, which means, you know, from when they're little. Where I hope that every single one of us in here, especially those of us with young kids, you have some kind of elementary Bible. You say, Richard, it costs money. Yes. But we're talking about your kids knowing and loving God. That's a great investment. Are you with me? But there are great Bibles where, you know, there are pictures and there are stories. I hope every, you know, parent of young kids has one. And it starts from you and I. Every night, before you put them down, mom or dad, you read a little short story and you pray. We're not talking about you having a quiet time. Okay, as you do this. It takes 5 minutes. But it's very, very important that we take the time, you know, we read this Bible story, we let them whatever, you know, ask questions, and you can even act out whatever it is you've read. It all depends on whatever it is you want to do. But it's important that it's consistent. And then you put the kids down and say, you know what, daddy's going to pray now, mommy's going to pray now. And all you need to do is pray for 1 minute. And then let them pray. Amen? It's very, very important. Young men, the singles are in the fellowship hall. It's very, very important that it starts when they're this small. Okay? So that, you know, as you bring them to church, you know, they have their classes during the week and on Thursday nights and on Sunday mornings. The teachers, which is a lot of you guys in this room, will reinforce a lot of the stuff they're learning already. Does that make sense? You know, and I don't know about you. I'm sure you've experienced this already. It's so amazing to hear kids pray. Oh, I love it. It always melts my heart. There are certain things. I mean, my kids, both of them are now teens. When I take them to school in the morning, I pray with them. And it's in their prayers sometimes I find out what's going on with other kids that I didn't even know about. All of a sudden, they're praying for sisters. I'm like, I didn't know so-and-so is sick or whatever. And, oh, yeah, that is what she's going through. I was like, wow, I didn't know that. It's very, very important. Okay? Then when they come back from school, my wife goes and gets them. Again, we're trying to find out, so how was school? And we're trying to draw them out. Because remember, they've been away from you for several hours. I'm trying to counteract all that garbage. I'm not talking about the knowledge they learned in the classroom. I'm talking of all the garbage out there that they've experienced and seen. I'm trying to counteract that.
You can't wait till the end of the week. You can't wait for once a month to do that. You will pay a heavy price. Are you with me? So it's very, very important that we become this. That is the kind of household that we have. That even, okay, you're traveling out of town, fine. Your wife can pray with them. Or if you can Skype them, Skype them. And pray with them. Daddy loves you. Night-night. Now go to sleep. Turn the lights out. Stop talking. You always have to do that when there's two in the room. You know how it is. You put them down, you pray with them, and then you leave, and they're carrying on like the United Nations. And eventually they do fall asleep. Okay? But it's very important. You got to create that atmosphere. But you got to start somewhere. Okay? And, you know, some people have asked me, can the church be given devotionals in terms of what to do? I'm working on it. Where we will give you like maybe four at once. Thankful for the website. I think that's the best way to do it. Where we can have like four on a page. And so you got something to do for at least a month. And you can do one every week. You know what I'm saying? But we're trying to provide all the resources. But those resources don't mean anything if we don't use them. Amen? Very, very important. And so we're talking about our youth and family ministry, not just being the teens, but I believe it needs to be including the middle schoolers. Very, very important. Where, honestly, yes, you're reading the Bible with them, you're praying with them, you're bringing them to church, and then we really start getting in there when they're in middle school to really influence them. And I know the Cooks, the Reynolds, and the Carvalhos, they do a tremendous job, you know, teaching our kids, you know, at midweek and on Sunday, and we're very thankful for it. But we got to help these guys. Okay? The primary job is ours as parents. Very, very important. Another thing I want us to change and is to start having the parents studying the Bible with the teenagers. What do I mean? I'm not talking about you studying the Bible with your son. Okay? It's always amazing to me how our kids see us, their parents. You may be telling them, you know what, this jacket is black. And they're like, no, Dad, it's not black. It's gray. And then another adult says, you know, it's black. All of a sudden, oh yeah, it's black. Because you've heard the expression, it takes a village to raise a child. We need to help each other. And so, Sarah is not going to be studying the Bible with our daughters. She's going to be studying the Bible with somebody else's teenage daughter. And you will be studying the Bible, say, with my teenager. Does that make sense? And I think it does several things. First of all, it helps us get closer to these kids. When we see them in the hallways or whatever it is, we can interact with them. They will interact with us. There's not going to be this, you know, division. Okay, those are the adults. The kids are over here. Because they're going, uh-oh, here comes Mr. Richard. He's not going to let me get away with anything. Because I call them out when I see them. Hey, son. And that's what I call, son, over here. Wait, Richard, that's not your son. He is my son. He is your son. We can't just see them doing stuff and we just look the other way like, well, somebody else will take care of it. Who else is going to do it? Are you with me? And so we're going to start having the fathers in here and the moms study the Bible with the kids, starting with the character studies. We got 9 character studies we're going to give to you. Okay? So all the work has been done. All we need to do is get with the kids. I would prefer the weekend because during the week they have so much work to do. On a Saturday or on a Sunday, take out 1 hour and get with that young man or that young lady and do a character study. And then you do another one the following week. And then you do another one the following week. Okay? And then I'm looking at you, Dan. We'll start putting all this stuff on the website. You can just go in there and just get it. Okay? Are you with me so far? But it's going to be very, very important that we all get on board with this. It takes a village to raise a child. When we all get involved, it's going to be a wonderful thing. We're going to be seeing a lot of these kids, a lot of our kids, fall in love with God. And let me say it from the pulpit. My goal, our goal in this is not that they be baptized. My goal in all of this is that they fall deeply and passionately in love with God. I promise you, when they do that, they will repent and get baptized. Okay? I also need to say something else as I say that. I think for those of us that are teen parents, you just need to be faithful and keep on praying. One of the hardest things to do is to see your child become a sinner. When they're lying and they're being devious or they're stealing, it's a hard thing. But I say that because sometimes when we start seeing these things in our kids, some of us, you know, we're like, oh my goodness. It's like, relax. They have to become sinners first before they get saved. Remember yourself? Okay? It's like, you and I were in sin. I was not converted as a teenager. I became a Christian when I was 24. And so, yes, I understand we're trying to save them from a lot, but they're going to become sinners first before they can get saved. And so I'm just saying, don't freak out. Okay? Keep on praying for them. There is one prayer I pray every day. Even before they were born, I prayed for my kids. I pray for my kids every day. I'm sorry. Because again, if I don't pray for them, who's going to do it for me? I may not get a chance to pray for all kinds of other things, but I'm praying for my kids every day. I'm praying for my wife. And I'm praying for myself. Are you with me? So it's very important that we're faithful about this and we're praying. Because remember, it is God who does the work. The Bible says God says nobody can come to me unless he enables them. And so our prayer, we're crying out to God, we're crying out for each other's kids that God enable them, bring them in. Amen? Give yourself a chance. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to do all this stuff, become this incredible, awesome disciple, and all your kids are going to make it. But at least you've given them a chance. And here's the cool part that the Bible talks about. That when you train a child, when he grows up, he will not depart from it. In other words, one day will come. They may be 30, they may be 40 years old. They will come back to their senses and you know what? My parents taught me differently. And they will come back to what they learned from your household. You've got to believe that. Amen? Very, very important. Because all this stuff that we're talking about, they're not going to learn it out there. The world is going in one direction, and you and I know what direction that is. I shared this many years ago, but I'll share it again as I conclude. There was a young lady, not in this church. I don't want anybody to get nervous. There was a young lady, went up to her mom and dad, evangelist, women's ministry leader, powerful couple in the Lord. She went to her mom and dad and said, I'm struggling. I'm struggling in my faith. I don't want to serve God anymore. This is hard. I'm trying. But I just don't know if I can do this anymore. And she was just being open with her parents. And the parents just sat there listening, tears coming down their eyes. I mean, what you going to say? You can't force a kid to fall in love with God and to be serving God. You can't do it. And they just listened. They didn't even say anything. And their daughter goes, the only reason I've not left God, because there's no doubt in my mind that if I leave, I could never have a marriage like both of you have. I know it. And that's the thing that has kept me going. And so I say that to say, brothers and sisters, especially those of us that are married in here, we had an incredible marriage retreat. We learned a lot. A lot was exposed. We decided to repent of a lot. You know,
all these rules of engagement that Tolliver talked about in terms of how to really communicate and solve disputes. We need to do it with our wives. Again, that was not a suggestion. He asked me to tell you, to remind you. I spoke to him again today to thank him for the tremendous weekend that he did for us. Your marriage may be what saves your kids one day. Don't you ever forget it. Very, very important. And so, I know this is a lot, and that's why we're going to have like a month to digest it. I encourage you to really study this stuff out. Okay? I know I've dumped a lot on you tonight. Okay? And I apologize. But we got to start somewhere. Okay? But you got weeks of reflecting and Bible study and meditating and all kinds of stuff to do. And then we will continue this once we're done with the shepherding series. Okay? Now, I would like to see the following parents, please. If you could please come up and see me. We're going to meet on the corner over here very quickly, immediately. We do the closing prayer. Galileo Cavallo, Rick Fields, Todd Manafee, Kendall Knight, Derek Brewer, Ernest Andre. If your husband or wife is not here, please, and you're here, please come and represent them. Todd Reynolds, Mary Fields, Judy Wimbush, Karen Schultz, myself, John Becker, Judith Horton, Marisabel Becker, Michelle Brewer, Steve Collier, Mike Rao, Chloe Rao, Kay Patterson, Danny Cadet, Diane Knight, Stacey Sugarman, Ava Menefee, Bridget Robertson. If I can see all those people, but if I call your spouse and they're not here, please come represent them. If I can see you in the corner here very, very quickly, that would be very, very helpful. Amen? I hope this has been helpful. Okay? We're talking about changing the culture in our church. We're talking about, years from now, when we get to the other side, we're all there with our kids and our grandkids. It's going to be incredible. Okay? That's what this is about. And so I'm appealing to us that we take this to heart and we decide to become spiritual parents in this church. Amen.